looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, C-Mobile, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Win it. 4-3 the final. Greg Kimbrel, his longest outing of the season. He locks it up, and the Red Sox have their 20th win of 2018.
That's how it ended yesterday at Fenway Park. Red Sox extend their record to Major League Best record to 20-7 with a tight win over the Tampa Bay Rays. 4-3 was your final. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, is back in Brighton as we broadcast to you from our Star Market studios here at the TD Garden. Jimmy, let's open up the phone line, 617-779-0985. We only have about a 30-minute show tonight. The Celtics will open up the Eastern Conference semifinals against the Philadelphia 76ers right here at the TD Garden. That comes up a little bit later. We will have the Bruins for you here coming up. In 30 minutes, they will play Game 2 of their series against the Tampa Bay Lightning, also the Eastern Conference semifinals, And we'll take in a Bruins pregame, Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame at 6:30, followed by the game itself right here on 98.5. If you want to listen to the Celtics tonight, you can catch them on WZLX 100.7. Again, 617-779-0985. Red Sox winners yesterday, Craig Kimbrel comes in the eighth inning. Alex Cora said that he would do this during the course of the season, and finally yesterday it happened. Remember, this is something that the manager was reluctant to do on opening day. It was a little early in the season for his liking. Kimbrel missed a lot of the spring because of the illness to his infant daughter, and so now Kimbrel comes in the eighth inning. So let me ask you, Jimmy Stewart, you, Jim Murray, before we get the opinions of the callers, how do you feel about the practice of bringing your closer into the eighth inning, both big picture, and how do you feel about it yesterday in particular?
I still don't love it because I still have the stain of what happened, well, the last time that it happened with Kimbrel, and he served it up in Toronto, and of a couple of years ago. Look, I know it worked out for him last year. I feel like mentally he's like checked out when he comes in when it's not a safe situation. So I don't like it. And it also shows me that Alex Cora doesn't trust most of those other guys that are in that bullpen in a high-leverage situation.
Jimmy Stewart?
If you have somebody like Rivera or Papelbon or even Andrew Miller, I don't have a problem with a closer or your best relief guy going for 4 to 6 outs. I don't think Kimbrel is the type of closer who can consistently get 4 to 6 outs. I think he is your classic generational 3-out, top of the ninth, bottom of the ninth inning closer.
So the
I hate it.
Well, so I'll tell you what. Long term, there's no way they can do this on a regular basis. There's just no way. So Francona used to do this with Papelbon from time to time, but if you go back and look, the year where he really pushed it was 2008. He did it late in the year and in the postseason with Papelbon. Papelbon, in fact, would pitch an inning and a third, inning and two, even two innings. And I'm not sure after that October that Papelbon was ever really the same pitcher. Okay, so that's number one. But if you're going to do it, you generally do it late in the year. However, under the circumstances, and I say under the circumstances, in that the Red Sox were about to be swept by the Tampa Bay Rays at home, I didn't mind Cora doing it yesterday. I really didn't. It was an aggressive move. I think the manager got a sense that his team hasn't been playing good baseball lately. Tampa obviously has. But let's face it, whether Tampa is hot or not, this is a team the Red Sox should clean up on. And when you have a day like yesterday where you're facing a 3-0 deficit, you're looking at a potential sweep from the team in the division that you dominated early in the year, I thought it was good diagnosis from Cora to say, you know what, we need this game. I don't want to get swept. Our guys haven't been playing that great. And so I don't mind doing it in this spot. What did catch my attention, though, is the comment from Kimbrel. Kimbrel, talking about coming in the eighth inning, said, quote, "My whole thing behind it is if I'm coming into the game, I'm coming in to finish the game," Kimbrel said. "So if I'm coming in the eighth inning, I have full expectations to go back out for the ninth and finish it off." Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but that tells me that the save is important to Craig Kimbrel. He's in a contract year. The save means something to him. And Cora spoke in the spring about the possibility of using Kimbrel in the eighth inning for some big outs, maybe even the seventh if necessary. And it feels like they've come to some sort of agreement where if and when Kimbrel comes into the eighth, he goes back out there for the ninth. And I don't love the idea that Kimbrel is dictating necessarily how they're doing this. To me, look, at the moment, I don't know that I trust anyone else in that Red Sox bullpen to pitch the ninth inning. And so if you want to use Kimbrel in the eighth, so be it. But that's going to be a hard trick to pull over the course of a full season, because I don't think you can rely on your closer to go, two innings or close to two innings, more than an inning, for the entire regular season, unless it happens just once a month, which is all that has happened thus far. One other thing with the Red Sox, don't delude yourself. They're 20-7, but they're 3-5 in their last eight games. They have not played well. The starting pitching is starting to slip on them a little. They've given up a home run in eight straight games. They've given up 10 home runs, I think, in the last four games. Drew Pomeranz had a dreadful outing on Friday night. Frankly, I thought he sucked in that game. They still have an eighth-inning issue that was evidenced by Kimbrel coming into that game yesterday. The infield defense has been suspect. Devers is getting a little shaky over there at third. Nunez has been shaky at second base all year long. So a lot of the issues that we thought existed with this team before the season began absolutely continue to exist, or absolutely do exist. And what once looked like a runaway in the American League East might not be exactly that, because the Yankees have won 10 out of 11, I think it is. And they're 12-2, New York is, since the Yankees left Boston. So the Yankees now just two back of the Red Sox in the standings. 617-779-0985. We'll kick it off tonight with Ray, who's in Revere. Go, Ray.
Hey, Tony, I think it's worked out as well as it possibly could have worked out for the Red Sox with the way they started this season. They're off to a great start. But I think right up against the Yankees, depending on whether or not Toronto stays in this thing, I think it might take 100 wins to win this division. The Yankees are that loaded. And I actually think it's incumbent upon the Red Sox to go for it this year. They're actually older than the Yankees. They've got a couple of guys in walk years in Price and Kimbrel. And I think they need at least one more starting pitcher and probably another bat, because right now the difference between the Yankees and the Red Sox is starting pitching, and the Yankees are going to go out and get that starting pitcher. You know they got the prospects to do it. And you know the Red Sox can't sit back and let that happen. They have to be proactive. But they have the goods to compete, but they're not good enough right now to beat the Yankees.
Okay, so Ray, I'm not convinced of that. I'm not convinced of it. But I think your first point is more interesting, that we sort of look at it and say 95 wins generally will get you a division title. And this year in the American League East, it might not be enough. I mean, the Yankees now are 18-9. They're winning two out of every three games. So the Red Sox are 20-7. The difference between the two of them is two games. That's it. Two games in the division. As good as the Red Sox were at the beginning of the year, and as badly as we all thought the Yankees were playing, when New York left here, the Yankees were 6-7. The Red Sox were 10-2. Since that time, the Red Sox have gone 10-5, although, again, it's really 3-5 in the last eight, so that they're just now starting to skid a little. But nonetheless, since the time New York left, the Red Sox have gone 10-5, and they have lost 2.5 games to the Yankees in the division. New York at the moment is on a 108-win pace, okay? And they're in second place. The bottom of the American League East is weak. In fact, I would say the American League overall is weak. It feels like the Yankees have put things together. And so the idea that you can win this division with 95 games might be fool's gold. Because I do think it's going to be an easy division this year, at least for the Red Sox and the Yankees. 617-779-0985. I want to get into some of the more of the issues with the Red Sox here in the early part of the year, specifically as it pertains to the infield defense. We'll do that when we come back.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is the Baseball Reporter's.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At his, and this shows you, too, that Mookie Betts not available in this ball game today because this will be a spot that he'd probably be pinch hitting in.
And there's a shot. That's a fair ball down the line. It comes back into the outfield. Here comes Martinez. He's going to score. And the Red Sox have the lead in the eighth inning. Sam and Leone just inside the line. And the Sox are up 4-3.
And how about that? Forget about Mookie Betts. Sandy Leone, first pitch, right down the third baseline.
Sandy Leone squibbed a ball down the third baseline, and squibbed is probably a little unfair to him. He fought it off, and it just landed inside the bag, and then kind of, you know, sliced around it. He ends up knocking in the game-winning run. The Red Sox win the game 4-3. But to me, if you're going to second-guess Corey yesterday, that's one of the moments to do it. Sandy Leone should not have been batting in that situation. The Red Sox had a couple of runners on, tie game. Leone was allowed to hit from the left side, and he sucks from the left side. Red Sox catchers have been wretched all year long offensively. In fact, they have just 5 RBI all year long, the Red Sox catchers. Their OPS remains the worst in baseball. So the Red Sox really are getting nothing offensively out of their catchers. Betts was unavailable. You heard Jerry Remy talk about him there. Betts is also not in the lineup tonight, but indications out of Fenway Park from Alex Cora before the game were that Betts is available in tonight's game if needed. He could go in apparently defensively, maybe even a pinch run or hit. Maybe the Red Sox are messing around with the Royals there. But it doesn't sound like the Betts injury is anything serious, and he could be back in the starting lineup as soon as tomorrow, again against the Kansas City Royals at Fenway Park. Bogaerts was an option to hit for Leone last night. Cora opted not to send him up there. And again, Leone comes through with a hit. So he bails out the manager. But when you look at the Red Sox here in the big picture, again, the cracks are starting to show. Eduardo Nunez really has been bad at second base all year long. Su-Wei Lin was in at shortstop yesterday, and the Red Sox got a call overturned on a potential double play because Lin came off the bag a little too early on the quote-unquote neighborhood play at second base. The Red Sox ended up getting the out at first, but clearly, you know, I like Lin as a player. I like him a lot, but they gave away an out there. Devers' defense has been suspect lately. Benintendi continues to run the bases, like his pants are on fire, and drives me absolutely bananas with his base running. So, to me, this is another thing you got to watch. And the starting pitching is starting to become a little bit of an issue, specifically as it pertains to David Price. Price, since that whole hand issue, Murray, has not pitched well at all. Over the weekend, 6 runs against the Tampa Bay Rays, a team he dominated early in the year. He did not have a great outing in Anaheim, despite the fact that they won that game and he only went 5 innings. He did walk 4. So they've given up 10 home runs in the last 4 games. They've allowed at least 1 home run in 8 straight games. So they're taxing the rotation a little bit. As a result, they're dipping into the bullpen more, and Kimbrel's getting in there in the 8th inning yesterday. The Yankees have won 12 out of 14, 9 out of 10. They are now 18-9 in the division. And it just feels to me like if you were worried about some of the flaws on the Red Sox coming into the year, you're starting to see them now in full color.
Yeah, and I think more than anything else, like, I'm not like freaked out about it. I mean, they were kind of playing over their heads up until recently, but I expected it to be an extremely competitive division, especially between Boston and New York, and New York's won, is it 9 in a row now? But they also have a big test coming up. I mean, the stretch that they have, even though they played extremely well against the Angels over the weekend, okay, you have Houston, and then you have Cleveland after that, and now the Red Sox got to reset things against this bad Kansas City team, and then what they have after that? They're going to Texas?
Texas!
You know, so it was a disappointing weekend, no doubt, but I expected it to be a lot closer than what the first 3 weeks of the season looked like, you know?
So the Yankees do. They get the Astros the next little bit, and Murray, this is one of those things where, you know, the Yankees are at Houston, then they play Cleveland.
Is Houston four games?
It's a four-game series with the Astros, correct. And then three with Cleveland. Meanwhile, the Red Sox have an easy week. So as you said, it's Kansas City, it's Texas. These are teams the Red Sox should be. It just would be a bad week to lose ground in New York.
Oh, definitely.
Okay?
Yeah.
It would be a bad week to lose ground to the Yankees. While they're playing seven against the two other best teams in the league, certainly the Red Sox and the Yankees, from the Central and West, I think we all expect that it'll be Houston and Cleveland. The Yankees are going to face them this week. You get Kansas City and Texas. So then the Red Sox in New York will play at the beginning of next week. You get a three-game series there. It just would be a bad time for the Red Sox to lose ground in New York. You'd hate to go into that series next week tied, right? You're up two right now, and it's probably too early in the year to scoreboard watch. But when you're talking about these two teams this season, because, again, I thought Ray and Revere made a good point in the last segment, and that is that 95 wins might not be enough to win this division. Because you're going to be able to beat up on the Tampas and Baltimores, and ultimately probably Toronto too. You may have just one other team in the division that's over 500 this year, and that would be Toronto, and I'm not sure they're going to end up there. You could have a situation where the Red Sox and Yankees both win in the high 90s, you know, maybe even 100 games, and because of a favorable schedule, and one of them has to play in the play-in game, which obviously is a death match. Nobody wants anything to do with that. So to me, that's just a situation to watch as the year unfolds. And if you're the Red Sox or the way you started, to only be up a couple of games right now, I don't know if it's a great feeling.
No, it's not. And I expected, looking at it, you know, prior to the weekend, like, okay, they're going to make hay here. It'll probably be 20 games over 500 by the next time that they face the Yankees, and they'll have some big separation. They got to reset starting tonight against this bad Royals team. And looking at the pitchers that the Yankees are going to have to face in this Houston series, so it's Morton, Verlander, McCullers, and Keuchel. Where I would start to worry as a Red Sox fan is if you don't see a lot of strikeouts from Judge and Stanton in this series. Like, if they mash against these guys, now I'm going to really start to get concerned.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.